Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, we are going to look at the week one matchup between Clemson and Georgia. So on face value, this line seems to be kind of wide, but the more I look into it, the more it just seems as if Clemson is going to get stomped here. And it's nothing personal. I have my biases because I don't agree with Dabo Swinney and any of his ideology or anything of that nature. His stance against NIL rights and things like that is just mind-boggling to me. And his inability to adapt in this time use the transfer portal as a tool instead of, like, shunning it, really stands out. But enough about the opinion I have. I want to dive into the data here that just really, really is eye-opening to me. So from a returning production standpoint, we've already touched base on Georgia in one of our previous episodes, as they are a top offense by far. They are 28th in offensive returning production from the fourth best S&P Plus offense last year. And then from the defensive side of the ball, they are 75th in defensive returning production and 5th in S&P Plus defense last year. Now, with all that being said, it sounds like I'm toting them up as they're like they should have won the national championship and all that jazz, right? But the thing is, from a talent standpoint, I do not feel as if there's any team as talented as Georgia. Now, does that mean they're going to run the gauntlet and win the championship? No, it doesn't mean that. But in this matchup against Clemson, I feel as if they are immensely more talented on both sides of the ball. So there is no major coaching staff changes for either team. They're bringing back, the same coordinators, same head coaches, obviously. You don't have anything schematically that's going to change. But a couple of things that we can take a look at that really stands out to me is going to be, A, the personnel that these teams run, and B, the tactics that these teams run. So we'll give you a little basis here. Georgia last year ran 11 personnel was 70th in 11 personnel ranking. They were 70.7% of the time per pass attempt were they in 11 personnel. But out of 11 personnel, they were 5th in EPA per pass attempt. And then they ran 12 personnel 17% of the time, and they were 14th in EPA per pass attempt out of 12 personnel. So, this is an elite passing offense. There's, no way around it. And there is stark differences between these passing offenses. When you look at Clemson, they ran 11 personnel at a slightly elevated rate, 82.6% of the time, which was ranked 29th. But their EPA out of 11 personnel, 83rd, which is not – that's below average for a team that has playoff aspirations. And then when we get to 12 personnel, it's even worse. They were 75th, ranked 75th in 12 personnel attempts percentage, which is 10.7% of the time, but they were 96th in 12 personnel EPA per pass attempt. So that is a gigantic red flag, and we are literally 4 minutes into the episode. Right there, if you cannot attack Georgia via the air and stretch that defense out and leverage them like Jalen Milroe did last year, you have absolutely no chance of beating them. Because I do not feel as if Clemson is going to line up and just out-muscle them in the trenches, especially from an offensive standpoint. And so let's dive into a couple of things that really is just even more eye-opening. And I think this will be a good exercise. So Carson Beck ranked 5th in EPA per attempt versus Power 5 defenses last year, and he had 324 pass attempts. So let's see how Cade Klubnik comes in for that. He was 86th overall in EPA versus Power 5 defenses. So that right there is exactly what I'm talking about. Just a stark difference. I did the quarterback episodes many episodes ago now, very beginning of starting this podcast. And you know how I feel about Cade Klubnik. He is not even a game manager. He is below that, in my opinion. And I get it. Like, I don't play college football. Like, I'm 5'8", so I obviously couldn't play quarterback at Clemson. But that doesn't mean I can't criticize from the outside looking in at the data. Okay? So when we look at a couple of other things, from a defensive standpoint, Clemson, their defense was elite. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They were very good. And they excelled pretty much in every single metric. Now, one thing that they did struggle in is they were 84th against 12 personnel in EPA per pass attempt. Now, that is eye-opening because Georgia, I mean, they don't have Brock Bowers anymore at tight end, but they just seem to be churning out that archetype. It's not quite like Notre Dame where all they churn out is offensive linemen and tight ends, but yet we've never, you know, sniffed a national championship in my lifetime, even though we've been close. But, you know, they're not quite at that level of churning out tight ends, but they're getting there. And so that gives me concern from a passing defense standpoint. And then one other thing that gives me some concern is Clemson faced play action at a 23.3% rate last year on defense. And that is the 128th ranked rate. So that's like bottom five. They did not face a lot of play action. And they were actually really good. You know, they were 24th in EPA versus play action attempts. But I think they're going to see – I don't think. They will see an elevated amount of play action playing Georgia. And that is going to, you know, test them whether or not they're going to be good enough to come up in that area, you know, whether they're going to show up and be, you know, worth their medal in those crucial situations. Now, one thing that Georgia does really well is they are going to implement motion and play action attempts, which are the most valuable attempts where you have a passing attempt that has both motion and play action. So they were eighth in this attempt rate, 18.1% of the time, and they were also eighth in EPA per pass attempt. Now, the other thing that stands out to me from the offensive side of the ball for Georgia is they were 10th in passing attempts that did not include motion and or play action. So only 31% of the time did they just line up and throw the ball. And that's a big deal. And when I look at what offenses are at the top of that rate, you know, there are a couple that, you know, you're like, oh, okay, well, they weren't that great. But you see a lot of elite offenses who just know that they cannot just line up and just throw the damn ball. And, you know, for what it's worth, Georgia has a top five pick in Carson Beck. So when they did line up and just throw the damn ball, they were 12th in EPA per attempt on those attempts that are the least efficient attempts from a passing standpoint. So that, again, another standout piece for Georgia. Now, when we look at the schematic standpoints from a blitzing standpoint, this is where I think either Clemson has the opportunity to really make a difference or they're going to get their doors blown off. So last year, Clemson blitzed at the absolute highest rate in the entire country. They were number one in blitz percentage at 47.7% of the time. So for anyone who is not familiar with what that just means, any blitz is constituted as having five or more rushers. It doesn't matter if you bring five, seven, six. That's a blitz. Anything above four is a blitz. So they were eighth in EPA per blitz attempt. And so, like, that is a big deal. Now, to counter that, we need to look at Carson Beck and how he operated against the blitz. And if you're curious how he did against the blitz, he was 12th overall in EPA per blitz attempt. And he had 108 attempts. So not just like some small sample size. That's one of the top in attempts versus blitzes. Now, the flip side to that is Cade Klubnik versus the blitz, 160th. So I don't want to really make this, you know, an analysis between, oh, which quarterback's better, because that's not even an analysis. We all know Carson Beck is better than Cade Klubnik. But, like, this is just showing you the just the nuance of, like, it's deeper than just saying that. Okay, so let's look at Cade Klubnik when they're trailing. So his EPA per pass attempt in the second half when trailing, 116th overall. And so, like, these are all, like, applicable to this game environment. Like, Georgia is a 13.5-point favorite for a reason. They have arguably the best talent and the best team in the country, and Clemson is flawed. They're flawed. Now, that's not saying they can't win the ACC, even though I don't think they will, but matching up against a team like this, they're just not going to do the things that they need to be able to do to take advantage of Georgia. And there's not a lot of wide margin of error against a team this talented. And as we keep going down the line of, you know, things that just stand out to me, I mean, Georgia also is not like a passive team. You know, on standard downs, they pass the ball more than expected. They're 39th in PROE, pass rate over expectancy, 4.26%. And then on passing downs, you know, they're 18th in pass rate over expectancy. So they, even from a tactical standpoint, they understand when it's time to ratchet it up and when it's time, like, even in, like, the microcosm of down and distance, they're checking all of the boxes. Now, what stands out most to me is when I look at these extended red zone statistics. Now, this is, there's 69 power four slash power five teams, including Notre Dame. And this is their red zone statistics versus other power five teams. All right. And this is probably the most eye opening exercise. Clemson ranked 65th in EPA per attempt inside their opponent's 40. That's out of 69 teams in the power five. Now, Georgia, on the other hand, ranked first. Like, I can't, like, drive this point home any more than I already have. Now, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Okay? You know, Clemson, highly rated and arguably one of the top 10 defenses, a lot of people would think, right? Well, they were 40th in EPA per attempt inside their own 40 on defense. Now, Georgia wasn't like a lead or anything like that. They were 38th. But we're looking at stark differences here. You have an abysmal offense when giving a great opportunity, which is inside of an opponent's 40. And then you have the best offense. And then the flip side to that is, like, the defense doesn't even make up for it on the opposite side of the ball. Now, I know that, you know, 13.5 is a lot to lay on opening weekend. And, you know, anybody, you know, it could be anybody's game. But I can't, this reminds me of the Alabama-Michigan game quite long ago. I think Denard Robinson was the Michigan quarterback. And the line was literally right around this. But, you know, people were like, oh, well, you know, it's a neutral site game. You know, they're going to be able to, you know, Michigan can hang with them, and then they just got demolished. And I'm going to look up that game real quick to see what that score was. Because I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was 41-14. Not even close. You know, I mean, it was, and they dominated from start to finish. That is what this game reminds me of. You know, you had a fringe team in Clemson versus a just juggernaut powerhouse favorite in Georgia. And I don't see any part of the field where they're going to be better. And if that's the case, I cannot. I mean, I don't like playing favorites. Like, anybody who knows me or anybody who's listened to my content knows that I prefer underdogs. I prefer value, but there's no value in holding a losing ticket. And excuse me, because of that, I'm going to lean Georgia here. I don't think this game is going to be close. I do not have any props for this game. I'll probably dive more into that later in the year. I can totally see, you know, Beck going over his passing yards, but I can also see him going under and they just dominate the game. I'm going to go with the side that I feel most confident, and that's going to be Georgia just completely dominating this game from start to finish. So that's going to be it for this episode. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions for new episodes, new material, new topics, you can reach out to me on Twitter. You can also email me at themittnermethod@gmail.com. And, you know, this will be the format going forward for all the new episodes during the season. So, you know, you can pick and choose what you want to listen to if it's a game that intrigues you. And, you know, other than that, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.